Welcome to installment 75 of Sefer HaMitzvot from the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss prohibition number 262, the prohibition on a husband to diminish any of his marital responsibilities towards his wife. As we discussed in yesterday's portion, this mitzvah speaks in the Chumash primarily about an Ama Ivriya, a Jewish maidservant. An Ama Ivriya is a young girl who has been sold into bondage, so to speak, by her father as a result of his father's extremely desperate financial situation. The law of the Torah is that the one that buys this Ama Ivriya has a mitzvah, a commandment to marry her if at all possible. And if he does not want, then his son should marry her. If not, she is allowed to go free. But the relevant section here refers to what happens if either he or his son does marry her. In the Chumash, in the 21st chapter of Exodus, the case is discussed about a man who marries this maidservant and then takes another wife in addition to her, as the law was before the decree of Rabbeinu Gershom that polygamy is allowed according to the Torah. The Torah then says that under such conditions you may not diminish any of the things which you are required to provide for her. The Torah mentions three categories: she'era, ksusa, ve'inasa, le'yigra. You may not decrease she'era, which is the amount of food she is given, ksusa, the clothing you give her, and einasa, the marital relations you have with her, also must not be decreased. All of these three categories are responsibilities which a husband has towards his wife, and he cannot decrease them even as a result of marrying another woman in addition. So far we've been speaking about this Jewish maidservant. However, the Rambam tells us in Sefer HaMitzvot that we can see from the Chumash that this applies to all Jewish wives. After mentioning that one may not decrease any of these three categories of marital obligation, the verse concludes, "Kemishpat habonis yaselo," that you must treat this maidservant just like any other Jewish girl or Jewish woman. From this, the Mechilta comments that the structure of the verse seems to tell us that it is teaching us something about the maidservant, that the maidservant is treated exactly like any other Jewish girl. The Mechilta points out, however, that this appears to teach us, from the case of a regular Jewish girl, about this Jewish maidservant, whereas the truth is the opposite applies in this case. It comes to teach us about what is the law by every Jewish girl, that we have explicitly stated here that one may not decrease in these three marital obligations in the case of a maidservant. The same thing, says the Mechilta, applies to every Jewish girl or woman, that one is prohibited from decreasing in either her food or her clothing or marital relations with her, and as the Rambam adds here, in order to cause her pain or discomfort or suffering. These obligations, as well as others, are written in the ksuba, the marriage contract. However, even should it not have been written in the contract, nevertheless, it is written already in the Torah, and even without having it explicated in the ksuba, nevertheless, the husband would still be obligated to provide these three things for his wife. Yesterday, we discussed many of the laws associated with this commandment. Today, we will discuss more of the mystical significance and the lesson we can learn from this commandment, practically speaking. The Tzemach Tzedek points out that these three categories of She'era, Ksusa, Ve'inasa can be compared to three different types of activities we do to come closer to Hashem. She'era, food, is compared to Torah study. And the reason is that the Torah that we learn comes into us and is united with us just like food. Unlike other mitzvahs, which surround us, so to speak, the Torah comes within us and transforms our personality and becomes literally a part of us. And therefore, food is compared to Torah. A garment is compared to the idea of a mitzvah. In particular, we can compare it to the mitzvah of tzitzis. That is, this is the one case in which a garment is involved, an everyday garment worn by every person, to exclude a kohen, for example, that a garment can be connected with a mitzvah when we have a garment with four corners that one is required to put the tzitzis, the ritual fringes, on this garment. And tzitzis, it is said, remind us of all the mitzvahs. They represent all the mitzvahs, as we say in the third paragraph of Shema, that you shall look upon the tzitzis and remember all of the mitzvahs, as we discussed at length in our discussion of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Therefore, the idea of a garment represents the idea of mitzvahs. And this is true in the general sense as well, in that all mitzvahs envelop the body and surround the body and the soul with a godly light, an or makif. Torah, in addition to surrounding the body, comes inside, is internalized as well. But all mitzvahs surround this body and bathe it in a godly light. The third category of a nos or marital relations is compared by the Tzemach Tzedek to tefillah or prayer. Perhaps the connection is that since God is compared to a bridegroom and the Jewish people are compared to his bride, the tefillah, the prayer, is the silent unity between the bridegroom and the bride, meaning the Jew and his creator. Through prayer, through the silent act, the quiet prayer which a Jew utters, he becomes totally united with his creator. In Lakuta Teda, the Alter Rebbe explains these three categories in a slightly different way, more generally, quoting the Eitz Chaim, which says that She'eda, the idea of food, represents all or pnimi, that in the creation of the world, and the godly flow, which continually comes to recreate the world, and enliven the world every moment. As we learn and say daily in our prayers, that Hashem renews daily, Amachadish b'chol yem tomid, ma'isev reishis, that the creation is a constantly renewed event. Not only was the world created one time and then allowed to remain in existence for so long, but rather the world is constantly being recreated every second. And when God recreates the world and gives it its life force, he does so in two general ways. There is an or pnimi, an inner light, which comes down to each individual creature and creation and being in this world and all of the worlds. And this light and revelation is specifically measured out to every creature in the entire universe, including the spiritual worlds as well. A more holy being is capable of taking a higher degree of godliness, and a lower degree, and a lower being gets a more condensed and contracted degree of godliness. This is why it is known as or pnimi, an inner sort of light, since it can be internalized by every single being in that it is adjusted according to their particular capacity. And this is the idea of food, that food, first of all, can only be eaten in a certain amount. A person cannot eat too much food. It must be measured according to his capacity to eat. And also, we might add, the food becomes internalized in the body, that every limb gets the nutrients it needs from this food as the food is chewed and then digested, and the relevant nutrients are extracted from the food in order to feed the body. So this is the idea of she'eda, the necessity of the husband to give his wife food. And as we mentioned, the husband is in many cases referred to in the writings of our sages, and in a more general way, in the Song of Songs, that God is like the husband, and the Jewish people is like the wife. And in a more general sense, we see that God the husband is required to give food to his wife, and in fact to all the world, through this or pnimi, this inner light giving life and recreating all of the worlds. That's the first obligation. The second obligation is ksusa, is her garment. And this is referring to the encompassing light, as the term is used in Kabbalah, or makif. And this is referring not that literally this revelation hovers above the individual being, but rather it is such a high form of light that it is impossible to be totally internalized by this being. It is therefore figuratively referred to as hovering over the particular person or the particular being, in that it cannot be totally internalized on that level. We might bring an example by comparing a concept which a student learns, where when the student learns a concept which he can clearly understand, it comes into him in an inward fashion. It becomes part of him and he can clearly understand it. Whereas when he comes in contact with a concept which is too high for him, he hears every word which was explained to him, but he cannot internalize it, he cannot fully understand it. It remains hovering above him, so to speak. And so too in the creation of the world, there was an aspect, and there is constantly an aspect which is given to each individual created being in an inner fashion, and so too in an encompassing fashion. And these are the two aspects of she'eda, food, and ksusa, a garment. The third category, however, a nasa, the idea of marital relations, is something completely different when it comes to creating the world. True, if not for the first two categories, the world would not be recreated, and it would cease to exist unless God would continually recreate it. But this act of recreation, ex nihilo, from nothing to something, is still only in a sort of set pattern, only what the world is able to take on its own particular level of the regular Seder Ishtalshlus, how things are normally created in the manner of nature that Hashem has created the world and hidden and expressed His godliness. The idea of a Nasa is something which is higher. This is such a revelation as to bring down a totally new type of revelation, a new type of light, and to create totally new types of neshamas, of souls, which have never before existed in the world. Although the world is created new every single moment, just as we see that food is something which a person constantly needs, and the nourishment from the food, and so too garments is something which are constantly needed, the idea of a nasa is something which does not have to be constant. But when it does come, it creates a whole new creation, as we see that through the relations between a husband and wife down here on this earth, a child is created, a totally new being comes into the world. And so too in the spiritual sense, through the idea of a nasa, Hashem brings a totally new revelation in the world which has never existed before, totally different and totally superior to the regular chain of events leading to the creation of the world which constantly takes place. And this great revelation, although it comes at certain times to the world, will be fully revealed in the Messianic age. As the Tzemach Tzedek also ties in the idea of Einasa, literally the word Eina coming from the being related to the word for time, or another word being Ace. Einasa meaning literally her time period. And the same word is used in relation to the Messianic prediction, as the prophet says, Be'ita Achishena, that Mashiach will come, the Messiah will be revealed in the proper time. And this is the idea of Einasa, the Ace, the time when Mashiach will be revealed. That although we are united with Hashem now before Mashiach's coming, this is only in a way of engagement, so to speak. But the full unity between us and God will happen truly in the Messianic age. And this is the total unity and the totally new type of revelation which God will bring to the world in the Messianic age, and may it come speedily in our days. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.